Hello, and thank you for joining us on this Facility Executive podcast today. I'm Ann Cosgrove, Editor-in-Chief of Facility Executive Magazine, and this talk today is a look at issues that many facility management leaders in the higher education sector are facing. And if you do work in a different industry sector other than higher education, I think you'll find many of the insights shared today in this conversation valuable to your work as well. So let's jump in. Over the next 15 minutes, you'll hear highlights from my conversation with Pete Zura of Sightlines, a Gordian company, about the challenges faced by facility management leaders in higher education and his work with campus leaders towards successfully addressing these issues. Sightlines, a Gordian company, works with colleges and universities to help facilities professionals and other stakeholders manage their assets. And the company's facilities benchmarking and analysis services focus on this aspect of the higher ed sector. So Pete is Vice President of Market Strategy and Development for Sightlines. We're happy to have him with us today. He leads his team to improve customer understanding and strengthen the connection between the company's service offerings and the needs of its members. Pete has more than 27 years of facilities management and planning experience and has guided organizations serving higher education institutions, state agencies, and faith communities. Pete earned a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering and a Bachelor of Arts in Architecture, and both are from Lehigh University. So the challenges of effectively maintaining aging institutional and commercial facilities has prompted many organizations to search for creative solutions. Managers and technicians in most maintenance and engineering departments have looked for ways to perform their tasks more efficiently to stretch scarce financial resources that many are facing today. And others have embraced preventive and predictive maintenance as ways to head off major problems. So in this conversation today, we pick it up as I ask Pete about the importance of facility leaders having current and relevant data about their campus facilities.
The challenge for gathering data, it's twofold, really. One is gathering data that's longitudinally relevant to the institution, right? What are the key data points that make sense at that school that are going to help the people there understand over time where they have been, what they've been trying to accomplish, and where they're going? And that can be very generic or very specific to the institution. Simultaneously, there's the challenge of trying to compare yourself to other institutions, and that's much more complicated. And so that requires careful selection of metrics that can be translated and compared with other institutions consistently. Things like energy quantities and units are pretty standard and uniform, but the way in which employees are counted and the way in which work order processes are counted, the normalization of a budget, everyone's budget's organized uniquely for that institution. So we work hard to get information gathered up in consistent concepts so that from campus to campus, if you're interested in comparing your campus's performance to another campus, then you'll be able to know that the data was collected in a way that labor costs are gathered the same way, and the kind of daily maintenance or daily service costs are gathered in the same way, and what's a capital dollar, what's a recurring capital dollar versus a one-time capital dollar are gathered in ways so that you really can do an apples-to-apples comparison. That's pretty straightforward, as I said, longitudinally over the years, but it becomes much more important to be consistent in the methodology that we deliver when we do it from campus to campus so that institutions can have confidence that the way in which we gather the data has been put through the same rigor site over site.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, that's very helpful. So then working, I do want to ask you about some specific customers or specific kind of groups of issues that you do see out in your work with higher ed and the facilities teams you work with. So, you know, having worked with more than 400 institutions all over the continent, and you and your team have helped those teams address many challenges. Mm-hmm. So, can you talk about any customers that maybe, you know, one, two, three customers that come to mind who have overcome challenges that you can describe that really stand out that may be, you know, quite distinctive, or as you said, higher ed institutions are quite distinct from each other, or maybe, you know, they could talk about some common issues that you see across the board to the industry. So maybe just a few that, you know, that stand out to you and, you know, share those stories here.
Sure. There are a couple that come to mind.
Okay.
At at Southern Nazarene University. I'm sorry. It's a small liberal arts university in Oklahoma. They've been needing to get a handle on their campus information for the purpose of helping to guide their master planning process. They know that absent the appropriate internal knowledge, it's possible that a planner, even with the best of intentions, can still overwhelm the school and make recommendations that everyone agrees to, but that will leave the school heading off in a direction that doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So first they had to get a handle on the campus that they have today. Data was gathered on the condition of their buildings, their whole facilities operation, their finances, the utilization of their key academic space. It was all collected and analyzed to build a kind of comprehensive picture of the campus they had today. And then that information was used to inform the master planning process, to help guide the master planner. And that includes really the evaluation of all the options. So as the options were developed, they were put through a rubric to see how they impacted those conditions, that operation, that space. And as each one was developed, it became more and more clear which ones were the options that not only would meet a number of the broad master planning goals, but would not undermine the integrity and would actually enhance the integrity of their ability to steward the campus. So the work's continuing today, and they're nearing the finalization of that master planning process. But the plan, everyone believes, not only embodies their future, but it really ensures that it won't overwhelm their ability to steward the campus going forward. And that's particularly important for smaller schools.
And can you
go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, can you clarify what that means? It won't impede their ability to steward it, meaning they will have the resources to do what they intend to with this plan?
That's right. That's right. They'll be able to scale the plan in a way that it's going to help them improve, but they're not going to make a mistake that will saddle them with spaces or buildings that they can't afford to sustain, or they won't be building new while they're ignoring spaces that need tremendous attention, right? You can synchronize your master plan so that you're addressing buildings with problems and concerns and issues. So that you can get a twofer, right? Fix an old problem and create a new solution all at the same time. And that linkage is really, really important to hold on to, and you only can do that if you fully understand the conditions of your campus and the conditions of its buildings before you start that master planning process.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure. At a different scale, the University of Maryland has had an existing assessment of the conditions of their campus, but it wasn't getting traction outside the facilities organization. The needs were not yet compelling enough. In a recent update to that assessment, a collaboration was established with the provost office, and it linked not only the technical assessment details, buildings too hot, too cold, leaky, you know, whatever, with programmatic need. Does the classroom have the right equipment? Is it in the right configuration? Is the work happening in this building suited to the very nature of the building itself? Understanding what the academic folks need and getting their buy-in as the process was going forward. Bringing them together so there's a space and building level alignment about not only the facilities conditions, but really the programmatic conditions of those spaces. And what that means now is they've been able to assemble portfolios of projects that are confronting not only the technical risk, right, the potential for failure on the facility side of things, but it really allows them to start contending with what might seem like perfectly good technical spaces or buildings, but spaces and buildings that are misaligned with their programmatic use, and it allows them to begin thinking about making investments that can not only fix the problems, but perhaps talk about relocating spaces, relocating classrooms, relocating whole departments are all possible once you can understand the linkage between the performance of the space to serve the need and its conditions. That's going to optimize the money they invest. It's going to mean the money that is invested on the facility side is going to address the largest technical needs that also, right, serve the greatest programmatic needs. it means the assessments now has really become a planning vehicle as opposed to maybe being perceived as just a list of problems.
Okay. Yeah. Good point. Right. Because you do the assessment and then where do you go with it often?
Right. And so key for both of those examples to me is that data is being focused on making better decisions, and it isn't just an end in and of itself, right? That's the power of data, is helping to make better decisions, make us as owners, operators, smarter about the choices we make.
Thank you. And I do want to just back up to the University of Maryland example quickly, just to
sure.
Understand a little bit. You mentioned a collaboration with the provost's office. So that was a matter. Let me just understand this a little bit. The facilities department was working with your firm on a campus condition assessment, so to speak. And then how did that collaboration sprout? Because I'm sure not every organization has that. So that's kind of an interesting bridge, it seems, to get things done.
Well, I mean, the truth is, I think most facilities organizations have a relationship with the provost's office or the academic leadership. The question is the extent to which that conversation is progressive and collaborative, in which as necessary facilities initiatives are undertaken, there's an effort to reach out and connect with those offices. In the case of Maryland, that's a case where that relationship is strong and is getting stronger. And so they saw it as an obvious way to bridge that gap and bring those groups together.
Okay, thank you for that. So then I do want to ask you, I want to ask you one last question, kind of looking forward with higher education facilities. And you had mentioned funding being a challenge, as I'm sure anyone listening to this conversation can relate to. And then also the compounding building life cycles as far as construction and student populations, et cetera, related to that. So I just wanted to circle back to a trend or issue that you see going forward as well. So what's an emerging trend or issue that you're seeing, again, impacting higher education facilities teams, whether it's this year and then beyond? What do you have your eye on for that?
Sure. I mean, I might offer up two, actually.
Okay.
One is, building on that very first question about challenges, I think one of the things that we're seeing recently is that schools they're not acknowledging that situation that they're facing. Those surges are coming due over the next 10 to 20 years, and the problem that's affecting these schools is something they're not always aware of. And disturbingly, we're even watching schools where enrollments are leveling off or shrinking, looking away, and they're still even building even more space. So on top of the piling up of need from these generations of buildings, we're seeing schools create even more space. So now you're adding a third layer of burden on those two life cycle driven pressures. And that's something that is affecting everyone at the campus, right? I mean, these pressures don't just affect the facilities people, they affect anybody who's stewarding it. It's going to affect the budget office and the planning offices and ultimately the leadership as they grapple with the resource demand that it creates. So that lack of awareness right now is a significant ongoing trend. At the same time, I think we're seeing teams excited to embrace data, but perhaps becoming overwhelmed by it. And occasionally that's even a self-imposed condition. And as I noted earlier, right, data is only useful if it helps you make decisions. So for example, I mean, big decisions around a priority or financing aren't really dependent on minute data points, but building a solid planned maintenance program requires very granular information on every piece of equipment or system that is being attended to. We're seeing more and more organizations seeking to gather everything all at once. Massive projects that collect every single piece of information to be used to solve all of the organization's problems simultaneously. They want information to argue for and secure more money. They want to perfect or at least optimize the operational organization. They're interested in implementing a capital plan or creating a solid plan maintenance program. They want to start living in a 21st century digital world seamlessly using a unified software tool, and so on. And if candid, there are plenty of organizations that are eager to help, you know, gather all of this information and do what's being asked. But it may not always be wise to take any of us up on that willingness to help. I mean, and frankly, it may not be affordable either. A smarter solution may be taking time to figure out what the challenges really are, okay, prioritize them, and then tackle them in that order. If, for example, the institution has a solid capital investment process, but no real planned or preventative maintenance strategy, then, you know, get the really granular detailed information to do so, and maybe you can even jump all the way to a predictive maintenance approach. But if the institution isn't investing what's needed and doesn't even understand the scale of its challenges, then a high level, more strategic level assessment is necessary. We find that too often people are looking at to highly granular data sets to solve their strategic problems. I mean, the allure of massive amounts of data, you know, it can mask the kind of work that's needed to set a strong strategic plan and direction.
So data is really, from one angle, it's where it begins. I mean, you talked about all these different types of challenges that you know, our listener definitely knows about, and yeah. There's so many